Hi, I'm Steve Webb, and this is the LifeSpring Family Bible. Welcome back. This is episode number 133, and today we'll be reading 2 Samuel chapters 8 through 11. Let's begin. Second Samuel chapter 8. Later, David defeated the Philistines and subdued them. David took Beth-Agama from the Philistines. He defeated the Moabites. He made them lie on the ground and then used a rope to measure them off. He put two-thirds of them to death and spared the other third. The Moabites became David's subjects and brought tribute. David defeated King Hadadezer, son of Rahab of Zobah, when he came to reestablish his authority over the Euphrates River. David seized from him 1,700 charioteers and 20,000 infantrymen. David cut the hamstrings of all but 100 of the chariot horses. The Arameans of Damascus came to help King Hadadezer of Zobah, but David killed 22,000 of the Arameans. David placed garrisons in the territory of the Arameans of Damascus. The Arameans became David's subjects and brought tribute. The Lord protected David wherever he campaigned. David took the golden shields that belonged to Hadadezer's servants and brought them to Jerusalem. From Tabah and Berathai, Hadadezer's cities, King David took a great deal of bronze. When King Toai of Hamath heard that David had defeated the entire army of Hadadezer, he sent his son Joram to King David to extend his best wishes and to pronounce a blessing on him for his victory over Hadadezer. For Toai had been at war with Hadadezer. He brought with him various items made of silver, gold, and bronze. King David dedicated these things to the Lord, along with the dedicated silver and gold that he had taken from all the nations that he had subdued, including Aram, Moab, the Ammonites, the Philistines, and Amalek. This also included some of the plunder taken from King Hadadezer, son of Rahab of Zobah. David became famous when he returned from defeating the Arameans in the Valley of Salt. He defeated 18,000 in all. He placed garrisons throughout Edom, and all the Edomites became David's subjects. The Lord protected David wherever he campaigned. David reigned over all Israel. He guaranteed justice for all his people. Joab, son of Zeruiah, was general in command of the army. Jehoshaphat, son of Ahilud, was secretary. Zadok, son of Ahitub, and Ahimelech, son of Abiathar, were priests. Sariah was scribe. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, supervised the Kerethites and Pelethites, and David's sons were priests. Second Samuel chapter 9. Then David asked, "Is anyone still left from the family of Saul, so that I may extend kindness to him for the sake of Jonathan?" Now there was a servant from Saul's house named Ziba. He was summoned to David. The king asked him, "Are you Ziba?" He replied, "At your service." The king asked, "Is there not someone left from Saul's family that I may extend God's kindness to him?" Ziba said to the king, "One of Jonathan's sons is left. Both of his feet are crippled." The king asked him, "Where is he?" Ziba told the king, "He's at the house of Machir, son of Amiel, in Lo-Debar." So King David had him brought from the house of Machir, son of Amiel, in Lo-Debar. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed low with his face toward the ground. David said, "Mephibosheth?" He replied, "Yes, at your service." David said to him, "Don't be afraid, because I will certainly extend kindness to you for the sake of Jonathan, your father. You will be a regular guest at my table." Then Mephibosheth bowed and said, "Of what importance am I, your servant, that you show regard for a dead dog like me?" Then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's attendant, and said to him, "Everything that belonged to Saul and to his entire house I hereby give to your master's grandson. You will cultivate the land for him, you and your sons and your servants. You will bring its produce, and it will be food for your master's grandson to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, will be a regular guest at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Ziba said to the king, "Your servant will do everything that my lord the king has instructed his servant to do." So Mephibosheth was a regular guest at David's table, just as though he were one of the king's sons. Now Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. All the members of Ziba's household were Mephibosheth's servants. Mephibosheth was living in Jerusalem, for he was a regular guest at the king's table. Both his feet were crippled. Second Samuel chapter 10. Later, the king of the Ammonites died, and his son Hanun succeeded him. David said, "I will express my loyalty to Hanun, son of Nahash, just as his father was loyal to me." So David sent his servants with a message expressing sympathy over his father's death. When David's servants entered the land of the Ammonites, the Ammonite officials said to their lord Hanun, "Do you really think David is trying to honor your father by sending these messengers to express his sympathy? No, David has sent his servants to you to get information about the city and spy on it so they can overthrow it." So Hanun seized David's servants and shaved off half of each one's beard. He cut the lower part of their robes off so that their buttocks were exposed and then sent them away. Messengers told David what had happened, so he summoned them, for the men were thoroughly humiliated. The king said, "Stay in Jericho until your beards have grown again, then you may come back." When the Ammonites realized that David was disgusted with them, they sent and hired 20,000 foot soldiers from Aram Beth-Rehob and Aram Zobah, in addition to 1,000 men from the city of Makkah and 12,000 men from Ishtob. When David heard the news, he sent Joab and the entire army to meet them. The Ammonites marched out and were deployed for battle at the entrance of the city gate, while the men from Aram Zobah, Rehob, Ishtob, and Makkah were by themselves in the field. When Joab saw that the battle would be fought on two fronts, he chose some of Israel's best men and deployed them against the Arameans. He put his brother Abishai in charge of the rest of the army, and they were deployed against the Ammonites. Joab said, "If the Arameans start to overpower me, you come to my rescue. If the Ammonites start to overpower you, I will come to your rescue. Be strong. Let's fight bravely for the sake of our people and the cities of our God. The Lord will do what he decides is best." So Joab and his men marched out to do battle with the Arameans, and they fled before them. When the Ammonites saw the Arameans flee, they fled before his brother Abishai and went into the city. Joab withdrew from fighting the Ammonites and returned to Jerusalem. When the Arameans realized that they had been defeated by Israel, they consolidated their forces. Then Hadadezer sent for Arameans from beyond the Euphrates River, and they came to Halah. Shobach, the general in command of Hadadezer's army, led them. When David was informed, he gathered all Israel, crossed the Jordan River, and came to Halah. The Arameans deployed their forces against David and fought with him. The Arameans fled before Israel. David killed 700 Aramean charioteers and 40,000 foot soldiers. He also struck down Shobach, the general in command of the army, who died there. When all the kings who were subject to Hadadezer saw that they were defeated by Israel, they made peace with Israel and became subjects of Israel. The Arameans were no longer willing to help the Ammonites. Second Samuel chapter 11. In the spring of the year, at the time when kings normally conduct wars, David sent out Joab with his officers and the entire Israelite army. They defeated the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah. But David stayed behind in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of his palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. Now this woman was very attractive, so David sent someone to inquire about the woman. The messenger said, "Isn't this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" David sent some messengers to get her. She came to him, and he had sexual relations with her. Now at that time she was in the process of purifying herself from her menstrual uncleanness. Then she returned to her home. The woman conceived and then sent word to David saying, "I'm pregnant." So David sent a message to Joab that said, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." So Joab sent Uriah to David. When Uriah came to him, David asked about how Joab and the army were doing and how the campaign was going. Then David said to Uriah, "Go down to your home and relax." When Uriah left the palace, the king sent a gift to him, but Uriah stayed at the door of the palace with all the servants of his lord. He did not go down to his house. So they informed David, "Uriah has not gone down to his house." So David said to Uriah, "Haven't you just arrived from a journey? Why haven't you gone down to your house?" Uriah replied to David, "The ark and Israel and Judah reside in temporary shelters, and my lord Joab and my lord's soldiers are camping in the open field. Should I go to my house and eat and drink and have marital relations with my wife? As surely as you are alive, I will not do this thing." So David said to Uriah, "Stay here another day. Tomorrow I will send you back." So Uriah stayed in Jerusalem both that day and the following one. Then David summoned him. He ate and drank with him and got him drunk. But in the evening he went out to sleep on his bed with the servants of his lord. He did not go down to his own house. In the morning David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it with Uriah. In the letter he wrote, Station Uriah in the thick of battle, and then withdraw from him so that he will be cut down and killed. So as Joab kept watch on the city, he stationed Uriah at the place where he knew the best enemy soldiers were. When the men of the city came out and fought with Joab, some of David's soldiers fell in battle. Uriah the Hittite also died. Then Joab sent a full battle report to David. He instructed the messenger as follows: "When you finish giving the battle report to the king, if the king becomes angry and asks you, 'Why did you go so close to the city to fight? Didn't you realize they would shoot from the wall? Who struck down Abimelech, the son of Jerubbesheth? Didn't a woman throw an upper millstone down on him from the wall so that he died in Thebez? Why did you go so close to the wall?' Just say to him, 'Your servant Uriah the Hittite is also dead.'" So the messenger departed. When he arrived, he informed David of all the news that Joab had sent with him. The messenger said to David, "The men overpowered us and attacked us in the field, but we forced them to retreat all the way to the door of the city gate. Then the archers shot at your servants from the wall, and some of the king's soldiers died. Your servant Uriah the Hittite is also dead." David said to the messenger, "Tell Joab, don't let this thing upset you. There is no way to anticipate whom the sword will cut down. Press the battle against the city and conquer it." Encourage him with these words. When Uriah's wife heard that her husband Uriah was dead, she mourned for him. When the time of mourning passed, David had her brought to his palace. She became his wife, and she bore him a son. But what David had done upset the Lord. Well, of course, this last chapter is one of the most famous passages in the entire Bible, and possibly one of the most famous stories in human history. Books have been written about it, movies have been made about it. It is, of course, one of the most shameful episodes in human history. The translation that we're reading says that the Lord was upset at what David did. That, of course, is not surprising, but what may be surprising is how the Lord dealt with David. Come back tomorrow and see how this plays out. I'll see you then. My name is Steve Webb. God bless you. This has been an In Touch Productions podcast.